End Time Deceptions. Commentary for the December 10th, 2022 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. When someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? Isaiah 8:19. As far back as I can remember, I was always interested in spiritual topics. This was before I gave my heart to Christ as a teenager. Perhaps it was the call of the Holy Spirit on a yearning heart. But something drew me in this direction. Because of this, I probably knew more of Greek and Roman mythology than most kids my age. I even tried praying to those gods, challenging them to prove their existence to me one night under a star-studded sky. The only response was silence. But I sensed there was something there nonetheless, for as the psalmist wrote, "The heavens declare the glory of God," in Psalm 19, verse 1. Though I did not yet know him, the voice of all creation seemed as one in glorifying him and reaching out to me to join them. It was in this state that others recognized my interest in matters of the Spirit, and they also reached out to me. I was invited to various churches, and I also was given a Ouija board by a well-meaning relative. I experimented with that board with friends and relatives, but in my opinion, it just seemed like a toy that could easily fake communication with spirits, little more than a parlor game. It was a diversion only for bored teens. Later, when I gave my heart to Christ at a Nazarene youth meeting, I did not see any conflict between playing with the Ouija board and my newfound faith. But soon I came in contact with the Seventh-day Adventist Church, and through studies there, I learned the dangers of such things. I determined to stop using it. Still not fully aware of their danger, I gave it to a friend. Shortly thereafter, his mother forbade us to remain friends. She was involved in spiritism, and since I had been sharing my faith with my friend, including why I didn't want to use the Ouija board anymore, she saw me as a threat to her beliefs. Sadly, that ended our friendship, and I rarely saw him after that. An incident that happened shortly afterwards opened my eyes to what I was toying with by using the Ouija board. As a result, I realized I should have destroyed the board instead of giving it away. I thought I was now free of the influence of that board, but in a matter of days, another relative gave me a new Ouija board. This time, I destroyed it. The Spider-Man comic book character has a tingling spider sense that tells him when something is about to go awry. My growth in my relationship meant my spiritual sense was telling me that there was more behind this inundation with Ouija boards than simply innocent gifts. I have avoided dabbling with spiritism ever since. What are the spirits in spiritism? Popular belief is that they are the spirits of the dead, attempting to communicate with the living. Even the Bible puts it into that context, as our opening verse revealed. Since so many believe that our conscious existence continues, barely interrupted by death, doesn't it make sense that we should be able to find a way to communicate with them like the Ouija board? Seances and conjurings are other ways purported to open a channel of communication with the departed. But as our verse said, we need to choose between trying to communicate with the dead and going directly to God for guidance. We are not encouraged to blend the two. It is either or. Sadly, far too many who consider themselves Christian fall into the trap of spiritism. Why is that the case? They have come to accept pop theology that teaches that there is an unconditional immortal entity they call the soul. They teach that we do not die when we die, but simply pass to another plane of existence. Spiritists and pop Christians may disagree on what that means, but they both believe that there is no loss of personality or consciousness at the moment of death. Spiritists may represent them as being in another world, somewhat like Marley's ghost in Dickens' A Christmas Carol. Pop Christians say instead that the soul transits to heaven or hell upon death. But both Christians and Spiritists believe that their continuing personality and consciousness allows them to communicate with the living and divulge things that can only be known in the spirit world. Not all Christians believe this way. Some make the choice to trust God for answers, and turning to the Bible, they read other verses that say, "His spirit departs, he returns to the earth, in that very day his thoughts perish," in Psalm 146:4. "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, for there is no activity or planning or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol where you are going," Ecclesiastes 9:10. And, "The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence," Psalm 115, verse 17. Some may look at that first verse in Psalm 146 and say, "Aha, it says spirit. That must be the soul we are talking about." But is there a conscious entity called the soul? For that to be true, it would directly contradict the other two verses I just shared. It helps our understanding to know that the word translated as spirit is rendered as breath in other locations in Scripture. There is no indication that it has its own conscious existence apart from the body. If we look at the recipe for creating man, it consists of dirt and breath, and the two combined produce what is called a soul in the King James Version of the Bible. A common definition of soul in that era supports the biblical account that the soul represents the entire being, not a separate spiritual entity distinct from the body. For instance, the children's nursery rhyme about Old King Cole tells us that he was a merry old soul. They were not talking about King Cole's spiritual manifestation, but about his entire being. What is to be lost by believing in a conscious, unconditional, immortal soul? Who will it harm? It is a belief that is at the very root of the Bible's account of who and what we are. In the beginning, God warned humanity that if they were not careful, they would die. But the devil said, "No, you won't." The very first humans chose to believe the devil and not God. That same lie is continually repeated today, and we continue to believe it despite God's continual reminders in Scripture that it is not true. Immortality is conditional, based on our doing what is required to live, as opposed to simply taking it for granted as somehow intrinsic to our being by definition. We know from historical precedent that if a lie is repeated often enough, people begin to accept it as truth. After being repeated for a very long time, it has permeated every aspect of culture and society. It is so prevalent that telling someone they will not automatically go on living after death is deemed to be the heresy. It may seem that such a blatant lie would be difficult to pull off, but with an appeal to authority, people will believe things that otherwise they might not. For example, once Hitler or Stalin achieved authority over the reins of state, many who otherwise might question their decisions fell into line. Often likewise, finding death to be the result just as the first humans discovered. But how could the devil bring about this appeal to authority? The Bible tells us in Paul's second letter to the Corinthian church, Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. 2 Corinthians 11 verses 14 and 15. We might be wary of non-Christians trying to lead us astray, but when our own Christian ministers serve the lie rather than the truth, and do so week after week, month after month, and year after year, we slowly but surely absorb the lie into our very being to such an extent that the actual truth seems alarmingly threatening to us. Although it is as old as the Bible itself, to some who hear this for the first time, the idea that any immortality is conditional seems novel and unfamiliar. Some may even cite near-death experiences they have had or visitations by dead loved ones as proof that the lie is real. But when we consider what Paul wrote about the devil and his fallen angels and their ability to transform themselves, it is not beyond their ability to impersonate the dead in order to bolster the lie. They do not need or desire our permission to deceive us. Jesus said that the devil is the father of the lie. He invented lying. It is a tool that has served him well for millennia. The question for each of us is whether or not we will embrace a comforting lie or face the hard truth that the dead are unable to communicate with us or have any part in what the living are doing. God is love, and he will not force that choice upon us, but his love compels him to warn us when we are on a deadly path, just as he did the first of humanity. After so many billions have died since then, are we ready yet to listen? Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can find the written version of this podcast, along with scripture footnotes backing up the ideas shared in this podcast, at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find hundreds more of these commentaries and podcasts at that website, as well as a course in beginning Bible studies. May God richly bless you and your family.